What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Larkin, Texas, once again, standing in for our friend, Michael. I understand Michael's going to be back on Monday. So he's had, I hope, sufficient enough R&R to recover from the big move from Hawaii back to the mainland. And so I have a few surprises for y'all today. As you know, I'm the world's worst radio host. And so I didn't want anyone to suffer just having to listen to my voice. Bear in mind, of course, that you can call in. This is Talk Radio. The number is 800-313-9443. And of course, today is March 19th, 2020. This is What Really Happened with the from the republicbroadcasting.org network. I don't know if y'all realize it today, but today's the first day of spring. And amidst the hubbub of the novel coronavirus and the globalist agenda afoot, the panic that seems to have spread its wings across the lands, I am so glad that today is the first day of spring, and I hope that y'all are too. So I want to share a little bit of something about spring, where it came from, the word, and so forth. Just to begin the broadcast, I want you to know that we're going to bring up Mark Windows once again, windowsontheworld.net, and he's going to help me get through. But the thing to know about spring is that originally it was known as Lent, or the Lenten season, which came from the Old English lenten, which means to make longer or greater in length. Yep. So we just brought in Mark. Mark is waiting in the wings. I hope you can hear me, Mark.
Oh, hi, Lark. Yes, I can hear you.
Very good. I'm sharing with the listeners for a moment before I formally introduce you, Mark, something about spring, given this is the first day of spring. So to continue, okay. It's no surprise that the season was originally named after the fact that the days were getting longer. After all, back then, natural sunlight and candlelight would have been the only light sources available. So it was probably pretty exciting to see a change in the season. So we ask, when did spring get sprung? It was not until the 1300s that the term Lent was replaced by springing time, since it was the time of year when most plants that had been dormant over the fall and winter finally began to grow again, or spring, from the earth. The season went through a few more name changes over the two centuries that followed, becoming shortened to springtime before arriving at what we now know it as spring. So spring is more than just a season. It is also a verb that means to rise, to leap, to move. As in the morning, I spring out of bed as soon as I open my eyes, or to describe an object being released from a constrained position. As in when I finally managed to open the jammed utensil drawer, my spatula sprang out. It can also be used when talking about a body of water. We went to the hot springs while we were on vacation. I've never seen such clear water. The word spring originated prior to the 900s and has roots in the Old English springan, S-P-R-I-N-G-A-N, and the Old Norse springa as well. So is it capital S spring or is it lowercase spring? When used by itself to describe the season, you should not capitalize the S in spring. You only need to give it the uppercase treatment when it appears at the beginning of a sentence or when it is part of a proper noun or title. For example, when a person named Spring travels to saltwater springs for spring break, the S should be capitalized each time. However, when it comes to writing about your love of spring flowers or your fondness for the pastels that are popular during springtime, you should stick with the lowercase S. So other words for spring would be the equinox or the vernal equinox. So unlike the solstice, which is used to mark the changeover to winter and summer, spring and fall have an equinox, which means a time when day and night are approximately equal length. If you're feeling quite fancy, you can call the first day of spring, that's today, the vernal equinox. Vernal comes from the Latin word vernus and means pertaining to spring. You can have vernal sunshine during the spring or admire some of spring's vernal greenery, also known as plants. If you're not feeling fancy, you can call spring mud season like they do in the northeastern U.S. April showers may bring May flowers, but they also bring puddles, muck, and mud. So, anyway, welcome, Mark. How are you?
I'm okay, Locke.
I want
I'm
you
all
to
right.
know,
I
just got finished watching the Virus of the Globalist Mind on YouTube. And that was fantastic. In one under 1 hour, that is about as concise a definition, a laying out, if you will, of the globalist agenda that I've heard in a while. It's quite good. I put a link in the chat room, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You can join us in the chat room. What really happened? .chatango.com. What really happened? .chatango.com. I've already signed in. It's an American. You can too. And anyway, other than that, Mark, you've been quite busy lately.
I certainly have, Lark. And we did a show last night with Jerry Marzinski, who's a psychiatric practitioner from Tucson, and on a slightly different subject than we have been covering recently. Very interesting stuff. And the UK is probably a little bit like the US at the moment, because they've been instructed by the same people. And maybe your listeners don't know that. But if you've listened to the globalist mind virus, then you might know that basically a UK institute is leading the way in the coronavirus rollout, the computer modeling.
Would that be the Purbright Institute, or do you have another source?
No. It's another organization, and it's a college in London. And
Oxford.
No. We can get into that as we go along. You've caught me a bit by surprise, actually, because I thought we were going on at 9 and it's only 8.
Uh-oh. perhaps I got the time wrong.
That's all right. I've still got my dinner in front of me, but I love spontaneity, so don't worry.
Okay. Well, if anybody can roll with the punches, I know it's you. So I'm grateful to have you on board anyway, despite the timing snafu. But we could come back to that. Yeah, certainly. You know, I want to say to the listeners out there that perhaps are hearing my voice and Mark's voice for the first time, that I do send out a couple, three emails at the most every month. That's generally the way I communicate. I try to get out and mix it up with the neighbor or some here. But if you'd like to join my email list, feel free to send me an email and simply write the word subscribe in the subject line. That's good enough. That address is alarkintexas@gmail.com. So that's alarkintexas@gmail.com. And once again, a reminder, if you want to join us in the chat room, we have four people in there now. What really happened? .chatango.com. Anyway, I've asked Mark to join me for a second time. I think the last time we were together, Mark, was on the 10th of this month of March, because you happen to be one of the most glib reporters on the scene that I know of. And because I'm not so glib, I I feel it an honor that I can have someone like you accompany me doing these guest hosting spots, because my reputation with RVN listeners is that I'm rather a dull fellow, shall we say. And that's because in Texas we don't talk fast out here.
I've always found you very interesting, Lark. Don't underestimate yourself. Our show when we first met up was fascinating.
That's right. We did one on communitarianism recently. So, yeah, you can find, if you type in, ladies and gentlemen, Windows on the World in any search engine, you'll find Mark's main website, which is, of course, windowsontheworld.net, and then also on YouTube. So I just type in, for myself, Windows on the World, YouTube, in my favorite search engine, and I find Mark's channel. And so, yeah, those are very good. You want to tell the listeners real quick about your Sunday and your Wednesday live streams, Mark?
Yes, we go out live every Wednesday on YouTube, and it also goes out on the website. On Sunday, we do a radio show. So the Wednesday show is a video, which is live to YouTube. Basically, we use a streaming service. And on the Sunday, we do a radio show, which is live at windowsontheworld.net, and you just go to live shows, and then that gets put onto YouTube and other platforms after that. So while we're still on YouTube, yeah, all of our archive is there. We've done so much interesting stuff over the years, and the thing is with the shows that we put out is that they're very information packed, and the idea of it really was to provide some kind of archive, in other words, a through line of action to what's going on. So a lot of the shows are actually not kind of time stamped in the respect that we cover the bigger picture of what's happening globally. So we sometimes do cover the bigger news stories, which may have a sort of local impact, but we talk sort of global to local, which is really what the globalist action plan is all about. I think that's the main issue that we talk about within communitarianism, but that goes into the United Nations Agenda 2030 policies, which are above national government, but they go into local government. So we cover these kind of things, and also very esoteric things in some respects, because I like to know what's behind what's going on and the historical perspective as well.
Well, and I've noticed that, and of course, that's another thing I like about you, is because you bandy about that evasive, that elusive C word, because as the listeners of RBN know, I have been trumpeting this word, communitarianism, communitarian, communitarian law, sustainable development, Agenda 21, 2030, for, you know, 10 years or more, just on this network alone. Because I want people to ask themselves, well, what the hell is this word? And what does this have to do with anything? How does it affect me? And so just on that note, let me share a recent quote I ran across from Nikki Rapana, which I thought is quite telling. And it's generally when she does a quote that is very clearly something she's worked on to perfect, I like to share it. She writes, "Communitarianism is the synthesis or the merging of all political and religious opposites under one giant community-controlled umbrella. This is the difficulty in finding a label for Trump, put your favorite politician or globalist in his stead, that makes sense. Globalist slash Trump slash politician embodies all the ideas submerged under communitarianism, including, but not limited to, fascism, corporate capitalism, and communism, and socialism. It's a continually evolving dictatorship of the community. Standing against communitarian religion, law, and policy is a stand against slavery, racism, eugenics, child porn, human trafficking, mandatory vaccines, land grabs, water grabs, and all the other ways and means that destroy human happiness. The big umbrella theory is the global emperor's new clothes. The dialectical pieces we know so well are the smokescreens hiding the naked aggression behind the communitarian veil. So there you have it. With malleability of language and instant connectivity today, we have a prescription for really disaster. On the one hand, we understand that technologies or tools such as language, such as personal computers and smart devices, etc., can be used for good. They can also be wielded for ill. And that's one thing that I try to keep in mind at all times, because a lot of times what we know is the global village or the global public square via the internet is not reality at all. Any thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, this is it. And most people don't understand how governance really works. In actual fact, governance is much more fragmented and unstructured than people realize. But that's a kind of surface issue as well, because it's highly organized, but it's not within the structures that people think it is.
Yeah, notice, ladies and gentlemen, Mark used the word governance. Governance is a synonym for management, because the reality today is what we're witnessing is that nation states are going by the wayside. In their stead, what is being erected is a so-called market security state. It's a globalized market security state. And we also, at the same time, are seeing the rise of the so-called regionalized city-state. So these are important things to bear in mind. Governance is the new watchword replacing government, because nation states are going away. They're being rendered obsolete, irrelevant. We have a global infrastructure being erected in their place. That's why this idea of national identities and borders is under attack that we're seeing all over. And this thing called the market security state has everything to do with a community of communities within an environment on environments and so forth and so on. The language that is being wielded today somehow doesn't make sense for most of us. And there's a reason for that, because they've adopted their own language. And it's marked by things like obscurantism. You can liken it to newspeak or Crime Stop, newspeak, or doublethink, Orwellian language. And I think that's safe to say. So we have to simply become facile enough in the grasp of the language they're using to realize that a lot of times we're just being played. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, and I think there's a huge misunderstanding about the language that is used. So we get these phrases that are implanted, like vibrant, diversity, and they're all communitarian words, and we've discussed that. But it goes into the creation of an unreality. In other words, the societal construct that people are living in is on one level, on a superficial level, it's there for the common good, which means that it's there for the public to see and believe that that society functions in a certain way, but it doesn't function in that way at all. It functions in a much different way. And this is, I think, the big problem when you're trying to explain things to people, because they go back into the words that they've been programmed into. They'll use the words that they've been given in response to what you've said. They'll say it's a conspiracy theory because they've been told to say that, because they've been implanted with ideas which will shut down anything outside the controlled narrative. And this is really what 1984 was about. It's really kind of Brave New World crossed with 1984. And Brave New World is a kind of totalitarian idea, but it's rolled out in a very kind of fluffy, nice way. But there's an iron fist and deep behind.
That's right. Tyranny with the smiley face. Let's take this break, ladies and gentlemen, Mark, and we'll rejoin after these messages.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Billy, man, come on. 6 o'clock news, say somebody been shot. Somebody's been abused. Somebody blew up a building. Somebody stole a car. Somebody got away. Somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall oak tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street for all the people to see.
That justice is the one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
You know, I think before the break, I think we were describing a form of psychological and or mimetic warfare. Would you agree with that, Mark?
That's absolutely what it is, yeah.
You know, I'd like to, just on the last, like the last time that we were together, I shared with the listeners something I titled called Two Overarching Communitarian Policy Objectives. One, depopulation, and two, techno-slavery. So, techno-slavery and depopulation. depopulation, and technoslavery. It all fits together because this is part and parcel, and this is integral to global to local communitarian governance. We're seeing it every day. It's being rolled out every day in different guises and permutations across the mediascape, within our daily lives. We're seeing it. But depopulation, as a reminder, is a standalone euphemism for total war. So it might mean one thing to you and I, depopulation, and that's true, what depopulation means, but it also means total war, because the objective is a totalitarian system of governance. So it's in order to effect a soft kill or a genocide of the human population. And I urge you to learn what is genocide and go to genocidewatch.com, for example, so you can understand what are the 10 stages of genocide, because it's more than just mass murdering people, for instance. So examples of depopulation includes psychological, asymmetric, nonlinear, cybernetic, biological, cultural, spiritual, socioeconomic, mimetic engineering, also known as warfare, even chemical warfare, lawfare, and more. So it is an all-encompassing program. And I like to add that these so-called GRIN technologies, an acronym, standing for genetics, robotics, information, and nanotech, figure prominently, because I think these people are deadly serious. They want total war. They are having total war. They're waging total war, but not the type of warfare that most of us associate that word war with. It's not only about guns a-blazing, tanks a-rolling down the roads, and bombs going off. When we talk about techno-slavery, what we're speaking to is AI, the world of big data, the information age, the Internet of Things. Remember, the new global public square, the new global village. It's no longer in the time of social distancing, the corner drugstore or the malt shop or downtown. Remember, technologies are simply tools, and these are man-made contrivances like language itself. Any and all utilitarian or utile, useful devices, instruments, toys, like money, and smart everything. So in order for this system to work, it requires your input, your biological input. Because what is that word smart? It means a lot of different things. It's an acronym, yes, but it's the self-monitoring of analysis and reporting technology. And that means that first the buy-in is engineered and you, now the slave, can implement the vision. So we ask ourselves, well, who are these communitarians? What is a communitarian? Those kind of questions are answered for you. You can start going to the republicbroadcasting.org website, where you see columnists on the left side. Click on Columnist Archives, or simply go into any search engine and type in communitarianism first things first. Then type in Lark on Communitarianism. In two papers and no more than a 15-minute read, you get a broad brush overview of what you're dealing with in this world today. So anyway, we'll pick up on that score, on that note, after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Pinned to my wall, an image of you and of me, and we're laughing with love at it all. Look at our life now, all tattered and torn. We fuss and we fight and delight in the tears that we cry until dawn.
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's an oldie but goodie. Before the break, I was describing to y'all techno-slavery. And I made mention once again that the overarching agenda of the globalist, if you will, the communitarian plan for global to local governance, the management, their imposition into your lives, was twofold. Number one, depopulation, and two, techno-slavery. And I suggested that you all do some searches. Communitarianism, first things first. What the heck is a communitarian? How do we identify them? Who or what is the enemy? And remember what Sun Tzu said in The Art of War. If you don't know your enemy, and yet you claim to know yourself, it's like fighting with one hand tied behind your back. You can expect to lose half your battles. You have to know your enemy and yourself if you're to prevail in all of your battles. And we're talking about life itself. With communitarianism and this techno-slavery that I speak of, we're talking about institutionalized slavery devolving to a social contract which fosters and promotes a relationship. Remember, a contract is a relationship. A relationship is a contract in which the human population unwittingly volunteers itself into perpetual servitude to the community. Hence, techno-slavery is totalitarian rule by enlightened scientists, priests of the mind, and oh yes, all those other voices that are not yours, outside of your head. You know, those self-serving, self-styled experts. So always remember that communitarianism calls for a scientific dictatorship of the community. And what Mark and I were speaking to earlier about this communitarian code speak, as I term it, these new buzzwords that are all about us, of recent social distancing. We can liken mimetic warfare. You can do a search, mimetic warfare, the future of war on the internet. Callie Lassen, who is an ad executive in Canada, Adbusters, wrote a book called Culture Jam. He says this: potent memes can change minds, alter behavior, catalyze collective mind shifts, and transform cultures, which is why meme warfare has become the geopolitical battle of our information age. Whoever has the memes has the power. And I think that's a very telling quote. Again, when we're listening to the beat of others drumming, controlling our thoughts, our activities, our actions, our behaviors, our attitudes, our beliefs, etc., this is a sign that we are being acculturated by outside agencies other than ourselves. We're allowing other people to control our lives. You know, man is a famous mimicker or an aper. We learn by rote. Class, repeat after me. Remember? But that is the mark of an aper, a mimicker. You know, we have a whole new science today called biomimicry, which is very interesting on that score. But beyond being an aper, man is also a oneer, and that includes you. You are unique and one of a kind in all of creation. There will never be another you. There never was another you. There's not another you. And so we must remember that. We are at once apers and oneers. And a oneer is a winner. So there you have it. A little context. Thoughts, Mark?
Well, yeah. Agreed. I mean, I think that identifying what this is about is very important to people because it's not clear within the public generally what we're talking about. People don't understand the word communitarianism, but when it's applied to other concepts, in other words, when you're describing what's happening within society, then it actually starts to make sense to them. So once you start looking at this coded language, and yes,
we got you back, Mark.
All this new stuff, self-isolation, self-distancing, this is all part of it. These memes that get put in to the public.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I try to remind people that there's a very helpful guide that y'all can search on the internet. Just do a search. Just do a search within your favorite search engine. Do a keyword search. The Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. The Definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. This is something you can read. If you look into the appendices section, you're going to see something called communitarian buzzwords. And these are going to be words that you're familiar with because you hear them bandied about all the time. But also within the appendices, towards the end of the book, some 360-something pages, you're going to see something entitled Big Mother's Double-Tongued Dictionary. So this is something that is alphabetized. And it was revised from the 2003 edition in 2012. So it might be dated in some respects, but you still are going to see a lot of these same buzzwords and terms of art, phrases, coded words within coded language alphabetized, more than 200 entries. And then you're going to begin to see it. I mean, ask yourself how many times you're hearing or reading just the word community alone that we didn't 25, 30 years ago. And of course, remember, this ties into sustainable development. Remember, sustainable development was born out of a document published in 1987 called Our Common Future. This is what codified the language of sustainable development. But remember, if you go to communitarianism, first things first, doing a search, you're going to learn about the contributions since the late 60s and the early 70s to this so-called language of sustainable development, now codified and agreed upon at the Rio Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. And then, of course, they had what was called Rio Plus 20. It's all coming together. But remember, they have to work from a playbook. If you're going to have a master business plan for the whole world, you have to have what's called collaborative governance and something which affords the most efficient maximum interoperability. In other words, you have to be speaking the same language. And see, you and I are not necessarily hip to this language. That's why it behooves us to get hip to this language so that we can understand how it is that we are being socially engineered and thereby enslaved. Because that's the reality of the situation. When we're talking about communitarian governance, you're talking, again, total war. And you're talking about a form of totalitarianism. You can call it socialism. You can call it fascism. You can call it communism. However you like, but communitarianism is really just a rebranding of capitalism and communism, because under communitarian system, it's not fully capitalist, it's not fully communist, and that's again how we get all the populace to fight amongst each other. you know, we are fighting amongst each other over pieces of language and interpretation of meaning, et cetera, et cetera. And so we can't ever come together as a people because people have a different worldview. And we understand that. I personally welcome that idea. However, I am of a mind that I don't like my way of life being superimposed upon or trod upon by somebody else's idea of what utopia is, for instance. And I'm sure you would agree with that, Mark.
Well, that's exactly right, Lark. And it's interesting you mentioned the UN Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 policies. Maybe your listeners are quite well versed in this, but if they're not, yes, it came out of the Rio conference in 1992. But before that, yeah, we had Our Common Future. And that is a defining document in communitarianism, because that really told us the bigger picture of how this new governance was going to be rolled out. And it was going to be rolled out through unstructured global governance and through NGOs and basically a huge education system or re-education system for the public. Basically, it was about getting everyone on board with the idea of sustainable development. In other words, you demonize everything outside the accepted corridor of opinion. And the way that's done is actually quite clever. And that's where this communitarian idea really comes in, because it's a totalitarian way of dealing with people. In other words, the UN will say things like, nobody will be left behind, which means there's no choice. You're going to give up all your rights to save the planet. Well, that's what we're going to tell you you're doing. That's actually not what it's about. It's a business plan for the world. And that business plan for the world has been very apparent over the past couple of weeks. I mean, in this country, in the UK, and I've been watching President Trump's address to the press today, which I always find amusing, his dismissive attitude to those prostitutes, those awful people who are all communitarians in the audience. And he does his best to be dismissive on that level. It was very interesting watching what he said and the way he's trying to play things down. But in this country, we're actually under martial law. The supermarkets are pretty empty. The shelves in places are empty. There's a look in the eyes of the public that they're in a bit of shock now, because they've collected as many toilet rolls as they need for the next 6 weeks, and they've raided every supermarket they can, and now they're wondering what it's really all about, because it certainly isn't about a flu virus.
Well, that's exactly right. There is a much bigger agenda afoot than just this. You know, I always say that, frankly, the world of banking and finance, the economic systems that are integrated around the world, the global trading system, the system of distribution of goods and services, and even ideas. This is all part of one system which ties together, frankly, banking and the law. And that's why I urge people to look up, do a search. Is Google your friend? Perhaps in this case, it might be. What is communitarian law? I mean, at least become aware that there is a system of international law which is being superimposed over and upon all nationalist laws. And that's what's happening. We see it. But it's all rolled together. And really, I kind of think what they're doing is they're preparing us for things like a global digital currency, working through the blockchain and cryptocurrencies, if you will, perhaps pegged to gold. I don't know. But we know that they've had to reset the global economy, and particularly since, right here in the States, for instance, this economy has been propped up since the bank collapses, the bank failures in 2008. And I'm certainly no expert about anything relative to finance, because, of course, I'm trying to live my life poorer. I've redefined wealth, you know, on my terms, you know, really for the first time in my life. And I suggest that other people consider doing the same thing. You know, ask yourself, what is wealth? What is well-being? What is wellness? What is health? I mean, you have nothing unless you have good health. And, frankly, I don't like to see the panic that we see across the globe today, even in my own neck of the woods, Mark, I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing. The schools are closed. You know, the grocery stores are cutting their hours. They're starting to ration. And all of this thing has been cooked up basically to put the fear of the new God in people's heads. And that new God is not the God that many of us know and understand is the God that's tied to nature and the planets and, you know, things that are based in reality. This is a man-made contrivance, 100%. We'll take this break, Mark. And remember, 800-313-9433. Y'all can call in. We'll be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
righty. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we're back with this last segment of the first hour. This is a short segment, Mark, and we'll have a break for the top of the hour, and then we'll be back. I want to remind you all, Mark Windows, windowsontheworld.net, Windows on the World on YouTube, the globalist mind virus. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think I sounded pretty close, Mark, yeah.
But, yeah, that was fantastic. And I'm glad that I had a chance to watch that just before we went on air because, you know, a lot of us are using different language to describe the same things. And, you know, we're all articulate in our own ways. And it's just useful that I can pick up on language from someone like yourself who has been researching these kinds of issues for some time. And that's why I think it's great that we're joining forces, if you will, from across the pond. And, you know, we're bringing European listeners and American listeners and Canadian listeners and listeners from all over the world, you know, onto one stage. So I think this all works to our advantage. You know, I've also described these words called the three A's that I term the three A's. And they stand for the words amnesia, abulia, and apathy. This is what's happening to us if we're not mindful of what's happening to us. With amnesia, the collective memory dies. What is it like to be free and independent, to have liberty? Abulia is the conditioned loss of will. That's spelled A-B-U-L-I-A or A-B-O-U-L-I-A. The conditioned loss of will. What do you want me to do about it? I can't do anything about it. And apathy signifies our lack of concern or care. Remember the three A's, amnesia, abulia, and apathy. Remember, this is part of our social conditioning. This is our engineered destiny, our common future, if you will. They have to breed this in us. Amnesia, abulia, and apathy. Yet all three of these A words lead to our subjugation, our suicide, and our acculturation. Inter alia, these three things will lead us to an eventual state of anomie, spelled A-N-O-M-I-E. And then finally, into a state of learned helplessness. And this is when we know that we've been made slaves, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we don't want to see happen. Stay with us. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.